From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Welcome back with me, Amanda, and today I'm going to accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's program, we have some various comments and also other interesting things for you, such as news across the country, and of course, interesting information as well as Indonesian songs. So make sure to keep listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Listener, here is the news read by Ahmad Faisal. First, the headlines. Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan says that economic cooperation is a priority in Indonesian-German relations. Indonesia has the first agricultural engineering polytechnic. Now the news in detail. Cooperation in the economic sector is a priority for Indonesian-German relations. This was stated by Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs Luhut Panjaitan in his remarks representing the government of the Republic of Indonesia as a guest of honor in the celebration of German Unification Day in Jakarta on Thursday. In his remarks, he said that since long time, Indonesia and Germany has established very good friendly relations.
Economy and development cooperation are key factors in this relationship. Our trade figures continue to show a positive trend, and in 2018, Germany was the biggest European trading partner for Indonesia. Moreover, in the same year, Germany was the top 5 of European investors in Indonesia, with a total value of $280 million. We hope the trade and investment figures will continue to increase.
Minister Luhut Panjaitan further explained that Indonesia and Germany also established cooperation in vocational education and sustainable energy, as well as very significant maritime cooperation. Minister of Agriculture Andi Amran Sulaiman inaugurated the groundbreaking construction of the Indonesian Agricultural Engineering Polytechnic or PEPI campus located in Tangerang, Banten. The campus covers an area of 4 hectares as the first and the only agricultural engineering polytechnic campus in Indonesia. This was stated by Minister Amran at the inauguration of the Indonesian Agricultural Engineering Polytechnic in Tangerang, Banten on Friday. He also explained that the construction of the PEPI campus is in line with the government's commitment to create agricultural technology and innovation in a bid to transform traditional agriculture into modern and develop superior agricultural human resources. After improving the agricultural technology, the Ministry of Agriculture is now focusing on preparing human resources who master technology and who are able to compete with neighboring countries. Indonesia selected as the official partner country for Hannover Messe 2020 among the world's leading industrial technology trade shows will offer the impetus to portray the national manufacturing industry's ability in a bid to transform towards Industry 4.0. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto explained in a statement on Friday that Indonesia will be on the main stage of the world's largest exhibition for industrial technology. The activity will take place on April 20th until 24th, 2020 in Hannover Messe, Germany. Hannover Messe 2020 is also one of Indonesia's efforts to introduce the Making Indonesia 4.0 roadmap launched by President Joko Widodo last year. The roadmap puts forth 10 national strategies to breathe new life into the manufacturing sector and the 5 priority industries of food and beverage, textile and apparel, automotive, electronics, and chemical that are provided as having the capacity and the noteworthy impact in the adoption of the 4th industrial revolution. Fossil stone crafts from Lebak District, Banten Province have penetrated international markets, including Japan, South Korea, Germany, Italy, and the United States. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Mulyanto, a craftsman in Cimarga District, Lebak, remarked on Friday that in October 2019, his site has received a request to export 30 up to 50 products of these fossil stone handicrafts: chairs, tables, cigarette ashtrays, souvenirs, and statues are some products in high demand among their customers. Lebak Art Stone Handicraft was also products unique in comparison with bamboo or wood products. Mulyanto admitted to a steady rise in the export demand in the past 2 months, reflecting the same trend. Usman 45, a football stone craftsman from Cindanggong, Sajira Subdistrict Lebak, admitted having received several orders of chairs and tables priced at between 8,000 and 25,000 or $0.5 to $1.7 per kilogram. The Research, Technology and Higher Education Ministry has outlined a target of creating 4,900 technology-based startups until 2024. As quoted by Antara News Agency, Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education, Muhammad Nasir, during the I3E 2019 Expo held at Jakarta Convention Center, more recently explained that from 2020 to 2024, the number of technology-based startups must triple. If the number reaches 1,307 now, then it must reach 4,900 in 2024. Annually, his ministry allocates a minimum of 64 billion rupiah for 3 programs to finance and develop potential technology-based startups. Technology-based startup and industrial innovation. He also said that some 230 billion rupiah will be utilized only for BPPT in the next 5 years. The exchange rate of rupiah that was traded interbanks in Jakarta on Friday afternoon continued to strengthen, aimed at the sentiment of the economic slowdown in the United States. The movement of the rupiah on Friday afternoon strengthened 38 points or 0.27% to 14,135 per US dollar from 14,173 rupiah per US dollar previously. Garuda Futures Managing Director Ibrahim Aswabi said in Jakarta on Friday that the projected slowing U.S. economy made U.S. dollar less attractive to market participants, triggering market players to switch to other currency assets. Also increasingly convinced that U.S. Central Bank, the Federal Reserve, would implement a loose monetary policy by lowering the benchmark interest rate. 7 Indonesian representatives stepped to the semi-final round of Indonesia Masters 2019 badminton tournament being held at the Gor Ken Arok, Malang, East Java. In the quarterfinal match that took place on Friday, in total there were 14 representatives of Indonesia competing. However, only 7 representatives qualified for the semifinal, while 7 others were unable to continue. Vicky Angga Saputra, as men's singles, was able to defeat his partner, Ihsan Leonardo Emmanuel Rumbai, with a score of 21-11, 21-16. In the women's double sector, two representatives qualified, Delia Destiara Haris, Rizky Amelia Pradipta, and Siti Fadia Silva Ramadhani, Ripka Sugianto. Della Rizky defeated China's Chen Rang, Chen Xiao, Fei Zhong, Jiamin, while Siti Roboka defeated China's second rank, Li Wenmei, Zhang Yu in two games. Moreover, in the men's double sector, Indonesia was represented by Barry Agriawan or Haryanto, who defeated another Indonesian pair, Kenas Adi Haryanto and Rian Agung Saputro. Well, listener, that's the news read by Ahmad Faisal.
The first news comes from Tahuna, North Sulawesi. The 106th Tentara Manunggal Membangun Desa, or TMMD, or the Military and People Together Building the Village Activity, was opened by North Sulawesi Sangihe Islands Deputy Regent Helmut Hontong at the Santiago Sportfield Tahuna on Tuesday. The opening ceremony of the activity was attended by the 131st Military Resort in Santiago, Commander Brigadier General Joseph Robert Giri. Deputy Regent of Helmut Hontong said the activity in Sangihe provided enormous benefits for physical development, which includes a 2,200-meter road along the Pana Nekeng Kelurahan Barat Tahuna District, a three-pillar building in the Kolongan Mitung Kelurahan, and painting a church and a mosque in the Tahuna District. The next news comes from Bogor, West Java. Two rare plants in the Bogor Botanical Gardens, West Java, namely Amorpho phallus gigas and Rafflesia patma, are blooming again. The PR of the Indonesian Institute of Sciences or LIPI Bogor Botanical Gardens, Ayi Doni Darussalam, to Antara in Bogor, on Thursday said that specifically for Rafflesia flowers, if calculated, the growth intensity has reached 60 times blooming in the last 10 years, whereas Amorpho phallus gigas was first planted in the Bogor Botanical Gardens on January 4, 2007. This plant has a height of about 2 meters and can bloom perfectly for 1 day and last for 4 days. This news comes from Pontianak, West Kalimantan. The government of Pontianak City, West Kalimantan Province, held the longest written hand-painted batik making in the province. It was to celebrate the National Batik Day in Waterfront City in Kampung Kamboja, Kelua Melayu Laut Village, Pontianak City, Wednesday, October 2nd. The making of batik with a theme of the Kapuas River and Malay-specific design involved 22 people. Head of Benua Laut Village, Lestari, said that the batik emphasized the frangipani flower motif, and it was combined with Pontianak Malay motif, namely the gill pattern, Dayak, and Chinese motif for a blend of three ethnicities. Lestari hopes that these activities can encourage the spirit of women in Kampung Kamboja in introducing their typical batik so that it reaches the national level, even to foreign countries. And listener, that was news from Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history with the event on 5th of October 1945. Agency of People's Security was changed to be Military of People's Security. Agency of People's Security, or also known as BKR, was the first armed forces established after Indonesia gained its independence. The establishment of the BKR was carried out through a session of the Indonesian Independence Preparatory Committee, or PPKI, on August 22, 1945. 5 and announced by President Sukarno on August 23, 1945. The members of BKR at that time were Indonesian youths that had obtained military training before as Heiho Military, State Defenders, or also known as PETA, and NIL. That one that was appointed to be the commander of the BKR was Aruji Kartawinata. Through presidential decree on 5th of October 1945, BKR was changed to be Military of People's Security. In its development, the name of the Indonesian Armed Forces experienced some changes, and finally, it was decided that it became Indonesian Military. We turn to the event on 5th of October 2004. West Sulawesi officially becomes province in Indonesia with Mamuju as the capital. West Sulawesi is the province from division of South Sulawesi. The province was formed on 5th of October 2004 based on the law number 26/2004. West Sulawesi province is known to have many tourism destinations. Beside cocoa, the province is also a major producer of Robusta coffee or Arabica coffee, coconut, as well as clove. At the mining sector, the province has gold, coal, and petroleum. We end today in history with the event on 5th of October, the World Teacher Day. Since 1994, World Teacher Day is commemorated every 5th of October. The purpose of the commemoration of the World Teacher Day is to give support to teachers in the world and convince that the continuity of future generation is stipulated by teachers. UNESCO stated that the World Teacher Day represents care, understanding, and appreciation performed for the sake of major roles of teachers, namely teaching science and building generations. Listener, that was Today in History.
Main-main, biarkanlah saja dulu.
That was the first song titled Pernah Muda or I Have Been Young by Bunga Citra Lestari. You still stay with me, Amanda, on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, we bring you our topic in My Indonesia. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia for today is about Indonesia transfer vaccine technology to OIC countries. Countries that are members of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation or OIC paid a visit to the production and distribution center of PT Bio Farma vaccines in Bandung, West Java on Wednesday, October 2nd. The OIC delegation, consisting of 16 representatives from 16 countries, intends to study the cold chain management process for vaccine products. PT Bio Farma's Director of Operations M. Rahman Rustan, on the sidelines of the visit, revealed that the program was a collaboration of OIC countries. Indonesia has been appointed as a center for vaccine and biotechnology development. Of the 57 member countries of the OIC, only Indonesia and Senegal are currently able to produce vaccines and have been recognized by the World Health Organization or WHO. Compared to Senegal, Indonesia has produced more types of vaccines. As it is known, Indonesia has a license to produce 14 basic vaccines. Meanwhile, Senegal only produces 2 types of vaccines. This visit program is a part of short-term knowledge sharing in order to provide knowledge about vaccine packaging and vaccine cooling chain management. In addition to this short-term program, Bio Farma also conducts a medium-term program that includes technology transfer to OIC countries. In the technology transfer program, the company will send vaccine experts to interested OIC countries. Currently, the one that is intensively conducting technology transfer with Bio Farma is Saudi Arabia. Bio Farma prepared its active ingredients, sent them to Saudi Arabia to be produced there for vaccine needs in Gulf countries. Vaccines produced in Saudi Arabia are for tetanus and diphtheria. Rahman explained that Saudi Arabia only runs downstreaming, while the upstream process is still being carried out by Bio Farma. That is, all active ingredients are still sent from Indonesia. Saudi Arabia only conducts the process of formulation and packaging. With licenses for 14 basic vaccines, Bio Farma is active in exporting vaccines throughout the world. About 2/3 of the world's need for polio vaccine is imported from the company. According to Rahman, around 50% of Bio Farma's vaccine production capacity is intended for the export market. Generally, Bio Farma's export markets are developing countries like India and Middle Eastern countries. At present, polio vaccine products are one of the most exported. This is due to the fact that developing countries experiencing conflicts such as Afghanistan, Pakistan, and Nigeria are still plagued by polio. And listener, that was my Indonesia for today.
Kau boleh ajukan diriku dan anggap ku tak ada, tapi takkan merubah perasaanku kepadamu. Ku yakin pasti suatu saat semua akan terjadi. Kau akan mencintaiku dan tak akan pernah melepasku.
Janjikan aku tak boleh jauhi diriku. Namun ku percaya kau kan mencintai.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
A song titled Ku Cinta Kau Apa Adanya or I Love You The Way You Are, sung by Once Michael. You're still with me, Amanda, on Voice of Indonesia. For the next segment, let's explore more about the beauty of Indonesian nature, tourism, foods, and other local wisdom in our program Indonesian Wonder. And today we'll give you information about Lhoson Cave in Kalimantan. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today, we will take you to explore Lhoson Cave in East Kalimantan. Stay tuned. Lhoson Cave is a remarkable tourism destination which can only be found in East Kalimantan. In local language, Lhoson Cave means an underground cave connecting two regions, namely East and South Kalimantan. The cave is precisely located at Batu Butol Village, Warakomam Subdistrict in Pasar Jansi, East Kalimantan. If you explore the cave, you will feel as if you are inside the earth, featured with unique and wonderful jewelry and gems. The cave is extremely huge and meandering. It takes 10 days if you would like to explore the cave thoroughly. The ticket price is highly affordable, namely only 5,000 rupiah for each person. Inside the cave, there are a number of passages connecting one place to another one. Due to its accessible location, many domestic and foreign tourists are fond of visiting the cave. When you get into the cave, you will feel as if you are inside the earth. Due to the lack of lights, tourists have to be guided by tour guide from the Pasir Tourism Office when they explore the cave. Most importantly, when you explore the cave, you have to bring flash or torch. The minimum lights make your exploration in the cave more challenging and thrilling. Inside the Lauzon Cave, there is a water spring. With this water spring, visitors can also witness incredible stones. The stones inside the cave can create unique and regular sound when they are beaten by a device that resembles to traditional musical instrument. Thus, the stones are called the rimming stones. In addition to the stones, there are also edible bird nests which make the cave look more natural and pristine. The natural stones inside the cave are the identity of the cave, which is located in East Kalimantan. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder about Lauzon Cave in East Kalimantan. I'm Putri Safradala. See you next time.
Membangunkanku terbangun aku dari tidurku.
Bye.
just listened to a song titled Sinar Mentari Pagi or The Morning Sun by Petra. For the next segment, we'll give you our program, which is Miscellany. Stay tuned, The Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listen our Voice of Indonesia. Miscellany for today will inform you Indonesian students took part in foreign affairs. The Third Belt and Road Teenager Maker Camp and Teacher Workshop has been held in the Nanning of Guangxi Zhuang Autonomous Region, China, from 24th to 30th of September 2019. In the event, Indonesian students again demonstrated their abilities, as evidenced by winning the Best Teamwork for Intelligent Robotic Award. This award was obtained by Bandung Private Junior High School student Muhammad Diya Abi Abdi Manaf. The Third Belt and Road Teenager Maker Camp and Teacher Workshop was organized by the Ministry of Science and Technology of the People's Republic of China, or MOST, China Association for Science and Technology, or CAST, Guangxi Zhuang Country Government Autonomous Region, and Children and Youth Science Center, or CYSC. This activity aims to strengthen intercultural exchanges and promote international understanding, as well as inspire the innovation of young people around the world. In the Third Belt and Road Teenager Maker Camp and Teacher Workshop, the Indonesian representative won the award after outperforming more than 140 participants from all over the world. The participants came from junior high school students ages 13 until 15 years from all over the world, selected by each country based on the track record at the National Science Olympiad, or OSN. Diya was chosen to represent Indonesia for his track record achievements in OSN the past 2 years, especially when appearing as an OSN finalist in Yogyakarta early July 2019. At this annual event, every team from various countries participated in various scientific activities, including science shows, discussions thematic, orientation, and project. Besides receiving the awards, Diya and his teammates from Indonesia also received special appreciation when performing Saman Dance at the closing ceremony of the Third Belt and Road Teenager Maker Camp and Teacher Workshop. Commenting on this achievement, head of Bandung Private Junior High School, Muhammad Budiawan Raihan, stated that this achievement proves that Indonesia's young generation is full of talents with great potential to boost the name of Indonesia on international stage. So listener, that was Miscellany for today. We will meet again with other interesting topics. I'm Putri Safita Dalla, see you next time.
Sebelumnya tak ada yang mampu mengajarku untuk bertahan di kala sedih. Sebelumnya ku ikat hatiku hanya untuk aku seorang. Sekarang kau di sini, hilang rasanya. semua bimbang tangis kesepian. Kau buat aku bertanya, kau buat aku mencari tentang rasa ini. Aku tak mengerti, akankah sama jadinya bila bukan kamu? Lalu senyummu menyadarkanku, kau cinta pertama dan terakhirku. Sebelumnya tak mudah bagiku tertawa sendiri di kehidupan yang kelam ini. Sebelumnya rasanya tak perlu membagi kisahku, tak ada yang mengerti. Sekarang kau di sini, hilang rasa. Kau buat aku bertanya, kau buat aku mencari tentang rasa ini. Aku tak mengerti, akankah sama jadinya bila bukan kamu? Lalu senyummu menyadarkanku, kau cinta pertama dan terakhirku. Bila suatu saat kau harus pergi, jangan paksa aku untuk cari yang lebih baik. Karena senyummu menyadarkanku, kaulah cinta pertama dan terakhirku. Wow, oh, oh, oh. Kau buat aku bertanya, kau buat aku mencari tentang rasa ini. Aku tak mengerti, akankah sama jadinya bila bukan kamu? Lalu senyummu menyadarkanku, kau cinta pertama dan terakhirku.
Was a song titled Cinta Pertama dan Terakhir or My First and Last Love by Sherina. You're still with me, Amanda, on Voice of Indonesia. After this, let's listen to a song, which is a keroncong song, so stay tuned to Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we will present a keroncong song which will be sung by Indra Utami Tamsir. Although Indra Utami Tamsir is a new corner in keroncong music, his ability and work in this music are welcomed by Indonesian keroncong lovers. As a beginner, in 2016, Indra Utami launched an album titled Wanita Indonesia or Indonesian Woman. He also conducted concerts in some cities across Java and Bali. His presence seemed to bring fresh air to the Indonesian keroncong music. Well, listener, here is Indra Utami Tamsir with his song titled Tanah Airku or My Homeland.
Musik.
Voice of Indonesia.
Kita bersama berbagi rasa untuk selamanya. Namaku cinta ketika kita bersama berbagi rasa sepanjang usia hingga tiba saatnya aku pun melihat. ku berkhianat. Aku terjatuh dan tak bisa bangkit lagi. Aku tenggelam dalam lautan luka dalam.
Listener, thank you very much for joining our English program, and please give us your comments, your criticism, and other things to our email address, voi@voinews.id. Also, don't forget to check our social media, Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, as well as Twitter, @voiindonesia. Have a great day, and thank you for joining us.